Foundational texts are the following. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That's Mark 9:23. It's not good enough just to say all things are possible. You have to understand that you have to use your faith. And that's what Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 through 26. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. I'll remind you of the second foundational scripture. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And then Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So just allow me to give you a short review and note again the context of what we've been studying in Mark 11:23 about not doubting in the heart and believing. And verse 24 goes on to tell us, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And so this is connected. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And as we've stated, faith in God, because, you know, he starts here in Mark chapter 11 saying, have faith in God, and then he begins to explain what it is and how not to have doubt in your heart, but believe. Well, faith in God cannot work on any level in the environment of unforgiveness or strife. And verses 25 and 26 indicate that we must forgive in order for our Father in heaven to forgive us our trespasses. Remember the other scripture I quoted to you, Matthew 6:15. Yesterday, we read it. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, this means that if we do not forgive, then our sins are not forgiven. So, staying in strife and unforgiveness causes our sins to be retained. We looked at yesterday the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. To this man that would not forgive, Jesus said some really harsh things and some no-nonsense things that put this man in serious jeopardy, both in this life and in the life to come. In verses 33 and 35, Jesus ended this parable and saying that, you know, the kingdom of heaven operates like this. He said, his master said to him, now this is to the man that refused to forgive. He said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I also had compassion on you? And being angered, his master handed him over to the tormentors until he should pay all that was owed to him. Thus also my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive each one his brother their trespasses from their heart. Well, as we said, to doubt in the heart means to have unforgiveness and to have strife and to have discord and to have fussing and fighting going on in the heart. And faith will not work in that environment. And Jesus said that the Father looks at unforgiveness like this. And he said, if you don't forgive from your heart, then you're in danger of being handed over to the tormentors. And your sins will be retained. Now, that's dangerous stuff. And because this word, if you'll read it, you know, when it says, thus also my heavenly Father will do to you, that word thus in verse 35 means just that. God treats unforgiveness in the same way. Jesus calls the unwillingness to forgive wickedness in this parable. And again, if that's not bad enough, then this person that insists on unforgiveness is in danger of being turned over to Satan and to his demons, you know, the tormentors. God expects us that have had a huge debt of sin removed by and through the sacrifice of Jesus, sealed in his holy blood, to forgive those brethren that sin against us, and to do it daily as many times as necessary. Now, why is this? Well, faith works by love, and it can't function outside the parameters of love. Now, Galatians 5:6 will tell you that. Faith works by love. Unforgiveness, fussing and fighting, holding a grudge, contention and strife are all outside the realm where faith can function in the heart so we can believe. Now, let me read to you some things from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to begin in verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to start there. I'm going to read some more here. But notice what it says here. Now remember, Jesus said that for faith to work, you must not doubt in your heart, but believe. And we're seeing that strife and unforgiveness damages that position, damages the opportunity for faith to work, stops faith from working in the heart, because it's outside the parameter of God's love, and faith works by love. Now, here in 2 Timothy, we get some more insight. Verse 22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those that call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now, notice that he's talking about having a pure heart. Then he says, having nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, you know that they breed strife. The word strife means, and we'll see more of it in a minute, but the word strife means quarrel, to have a quarrel, to dispute, to be at war with, fighting. It means fussing and fighting is really what it's talking about. So, foolish and ignorant controversies that breed strife are in opposition to having a pure heart. Can you see that? A pure heart is necessary for faith to work. A pure heart has to do with a unified heart or spirit where there's no division and no double-mindedness. You can't have that unless you are strife-free in your heart. Additionally, oh boy, here we go. Purity of heart has to do with holiness of character and life. Let me just go ahead and say it. Faith in the heart cannot function in a heart where somebody is practicing sin on any level. Now, you may not like to hear this, but it's the truth. You can't be shacking up in cohabitation and expect your faith to work. You can't expect anything in the kingdom of God to work for you if you are practicing any of the works of the flesh as taught by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, go read that list. Because the adulterer, the fornicator, the idolater cannot have a productive faith. Neither can the homosexual or the drunkard. You just can't do it. You're not going to have a productive faith. Now go ahead and read also Paul's list of things that will keep you out of having the kingdom of God working on your behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The only thing that will work for anybody that is practicing ungodliness is to repent and confess their sin and receive cleansing from all unrighteousness in the name of Jesus by faith in his blood or sacrifice. Now, 1 John chapter 1 again discusses this, verses 7 through 9. If you confess and you forsake your sin, then you'll be restored and you'll be in a position for your faith to work mightily. Now look at the book of Psalm chapter 32 and verse 5 in this respect, and also Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Amen. Because you have to confess and forsake your sin in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go on and read there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read verses 22 and 23. Now let's read verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not, you should underline those two words in your Bible, must not be in strife, but be kind to everybody, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting, his opponents. What does correcting mean? Disciplining, educating, and training as though they were little children, because that's what they are. People that operate in strife and they're always operating in unbelief and they want to have a quarrel with you and ignorant controversies that breed strife. They're just acting like little children that don't know any better. Well, you have to, if you can, you can't always do it. I mean, you continue to preach the word and you come down on unbelief and strife and you come down on ignorance and all of that stuff in your teaching. But it's talking about, dealing with them specifically and correcting them individually, your opponent. Well, you can't always do that. Some people don't even want to talk to you. But it says here when they do and educate them in the word, train them in the word, discipline them. But that's only going to happen if they allow you to do it, by the way. And it says, do it with gentleness. And that word gentleness means meekness and humility. Now, that's not always in soft tones. That can get pretty strong sometimes. If you don't believe that, go back and read the story of Moses, and you'll find out that the Bible says he was the meekest man in all the earth, and he wasn't always talking in soft tones. Or even look at Jesus' ministry and see that he was meek and humble. And yet sometimes he said some things that would make your hair stand up on end. especially if you were in unbelief or you were in religion or tradition, Jesus had some pretty tough things to say. But he was still being meek and humble, and you need to remember that. Now, why do you do this? Well, it says, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will. Oh, that's really not good. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 18 that the person that refuses to forgive will be turned over to the tormentors. Well, here Paul reveals how the one that refuses to forgive gets over into the devil's territory, how this person gets into the devil's territory in the first place. It all starts with this war of words and strife. That is what affects, really effectively, shuts down the shield of faith from quenching all the fiery darts of the devil. Like it says over there in Ephesians 6:16. Strife is the beginning of getting the heart completely off the right path of God and into the hands of Satan to do his will. Now, you don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. None of us should ever be there as believers in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at this. And we'll give you some definitions here of some words so that you understand what this is talking about. Because you can't have strife or unforgiveness. You can't be operating in this stuff and expect your faith to work, because it's part of having doubt in the heart if you're allowing these things to work. And we don't want it there. We want to be able to believe and get results. So we have to effectively remove these things by repentance and by faith and by our will and by our decision based on God's word, we have to remove these things and receive cleansing from them, from the heart, so that our faith can work. And then we have to determine not to live there and not to walk in strife. Now watch what 1 Timothy chapter 6 and beginning in verse 3, I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. It says, if anyone teaches differently and does not consent to sound words, even those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is puffed up. Now you got to understand, folks, any teaching that is done has to be in accordance with godliness. You can't leave godliness out. You can't leave godliness out of the equation of faith. And he says, if you do, then what are you? He says, you're puffed up, understanding nothing, but is morbidly concerned with disputes. Now you see this first word, disputes. This is a part of strife, as you're going to see. It's all a part of strife. It's all against godliness, and it's all against faith working in your heart. Well, the word dispute means that you're over into an area. When I say you, I mean anybody that is in that area. I'm not accusing you. You understand that, right? I'm just using it in a general term. But the word dispute means that this person is complaining, that they have a chip on their shoulder. Now, I'm giving you some definitions of what the word dispute means, that they're over into rancor, disagreement, but it's a strong disagreement because, you know, sometimes you can disagree with what somebody is saying, but you don't have to be in disagreement. Do you understand the difference? You can still stay in love and not agree with what people are saying, especially if they're over in unbelief or hate or some other form of ungodliness, then you can disagree with it without, I believe I heard Kenneth E. Hagin say this one time in one of his teachings. He said, you can disagree without being disagreeable. And that's true. You can. You can stay in love and still disagree with unbelief. Amen. Now, this word also means quarreling, having a heated discussion. So see, that's the disagreement it's talking about. It's talking about carrying a chip on your shoulder or rancor or quarreling, having a heated discussion or arguing. All of that is a part of the dispute. And then he goes on to say, this person is puffed up, understanding nothing, concerned morbidly with disputes and word of battles from which come envy. Notice what runs together here. Envy. Do you know what the word envy means? Oh, let me give you a definition of the word envy. It means greed. It means resentment. It means spite and jealousy and covetousness and holding a grudge or begrudge or begrudging. And watch the next word, strife. You see the word strife? See, they all run together. Now, here's what the word strife means. It means conflict, discord, contention, fighting, dissension, and here's a big one, rivalry. Now, folks, I'm telling you, if you remember when we went back and studied and we were studying the word doubt itself, that inside doubt is this definition of the word of variance, and all of these definitions are inside this word strife. The next word, slanders, evil suspicions. There is such a thing, you know. Constant wrangling. Now, what's the word wrangling? What does it mean? It means internal strife, squabbling, bickering, backbiting. And here's another big one, power struggling. Struggling for power. And it says, of men of corrupt minds and having been deprived of the truth. Oh, supposing that godliness is a means of profit, withdraw from such people, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, did you see what the meanings of the words dispute, envy, and wrangling are? All of these will corrupt the mind, according to this scripture, and cause one to be deprived of the truth. Now, Christians need to shun and flee from these things, because, folks, if you're deprived from the truth, then one is destitute or dispossessed of freedom from bondage that Jesus provided. You can't walk in Christ has redeemed us from anything, from the curse, from bondage, from sickness or disease, or anything if you're walking in this stuff. You got to stay away from it. Now, according to the word, did you notice that phrase of corrupt minds and having been deprived of the truth? Well, it's the revelation and continuing in the truth of God's word that makes us free, according to Jesus. And Jesus further said, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, that's John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Now, can you see what the devil is doing with strife? He's getting people into strife so that he can steal and rob them blind. Now, we certainly don't want to be in that category, and bless God, we're not going to be in that category in the name of Jesus. Now, one more scripture, because you have to resist these things. You have to stand against those things in Jesus' name. And if you get off into them, you need to confess it right now and forsake it and repent of it and receive your cleansing from unrighteousness, because your prayers can't work, because faith is intimately involved with answered prayer and with believing that you receive and with believing and not doubting in your heart. Amen. Last scripture for today, James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and strife in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now, see how that connects with the scripture we quoted above? He calls it something interesting. He says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where jealousy and strife exist, there is unrest and every evil deed. Oh, we could preach on that for days, because it's telling you the running buddies, the cousins of strife, bitter jealousy, lying against the truth. It's a counterfeit form of wisdom. You ever heard people that get off into strife? Well, you know, wisdom will tell you. No, it's not wisdom. The wisdom from above, he goes on to talk about there, is pure and kind and walks in love and so on and so forth. And jealousy and strife, where that is in operation, you can't step over into the rest of the Lord that it talks about in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 if you're in jealousy or envy or strife or unforgiveness. All of that runs hand in hand. And notice what else runs hand in hand with it. Every evil deed. Again, I give you Galatians 5:6, folks. Faith works only in the environment of love. Well, do you want to have a productive faith? Then there's no other option but to walk in love. Now, here again, I'm going to give you some portions of scriptures that address our love walk. And I say here again, I was planning to give it to you on the last teaching, but I didn't. But here they are. And you need to get the Amplified Bible. You need to read them in the Amplified Bible. Study and meditate on them, and then make a firm decision to do these scriptures that I'm going to give you. And if you miss it, repent and get back on track. Because practicing love will bring you into spiritual maturity, and it will be a sure foundation for your faith to work powerfully and to get results. Now, here's the scriptures, the so-called love chapter, and it's not a bad title for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you really need to read that in the Amplified Bible and put your name in there. And then 1 John chapter 3, just read the whole chapter. And then read the whole Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Amen. And it'll show you how to walk in love. Amen. And then Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. You really need to meditate on these, and you need to put them on your lips, and you need to practice them in the name of Jesus. We'll come back with some more teaching.